And welcome back to the podcast. This is The Meaning of Life with your host, this guy with two thumbs. It's me, see? Now, today we're going to be talking about something that is very new to me and very much a passion of mine, a sudden oncome passion. This is art. I've never been an amazing artist or painter. I've never been great at drawing, and I just always preferred to pick up a camera rather than, you know, like sketch it with a pencil. And I think the reason of this is because when I was in secondary school, I always felt that I was never any good at art whatsoever. Like, we studied the most basic shit you could think of. But the thing is that time, like, we were 11. So, like, my first ever time I was, like, did an art class, I was 11. And I was really bad at it. I was just terrible. Like, I couldn't get into the groove of it. Like, I just didn't understand the passion people have for it. It just felt like a menial task for me. But what I did recently, which is kind of where it all changed for me, is I mentioned this sort of interest in painting to my lovely girlfriend. And my lovely girlfriend, being lovely, was like, hey, you want to do that? I believe in you. There you go. And she was so amazing, and she bought me a load of art supplies. These art supplies were literally like a whole lovely packet of different color paints, two palettes, loads of brushes, a really nice like paper sketchbook to paint in. And I was like, shit, thank you. And I took it, and I was so grateful. I had all this stuff. Like, I finally had a reason to start painting, because I've always been absolutely terrified. The same with drawing. I've always felt so self-conscious about anything I draw. I just don't draw, but I've always wished I could. I've always thought it was so cool when, you know, you could just be, you see these people on the train, and they're just sat there with a notepad out, just drawing like a picture of like a person, or that, you know, they're sat in a park drawing birds, you know, like that to me has always felt like the most pure form of like of art and discovery, drawing with a pencil. But I never could. I always preferred to take photos with my camera because I'm an avid street photographer. I absolutely love it. It basically involves, you know, I go out, and when you're in that kind of mode of street photography, it is fascinating because you switch from your natural kind of mode of living, in which you're occasionally like looking out for yourself, you know, like, if you're walking down the street and there's some guy following you, you catch on to that. You're just a bit stressed because you're walking, and it, you know, you don't really take anything in. You just go from A to B. Whereas when you're doing street photography on a photo walk, it's the complete opposite with that, because you're not walking to get somewhere. You're literally walking around the city to find cool shit to take pictures of. And that's why I love it. It's great exercise. Like, the other day I did a day where I had a photo shoot in uni, right? And the thing is that the other day I had this thing at uni where we just basically recorded a live music performance on the roof, and it was like a whole day thing. And I, in my break, I had a 3-hour break, but like I had to stay there the whole day. So I was like, what am I going to do? I don't know. I'll take my camera. I'll go to London. I'll take pictures. And I went to London, and it was lovely because, I mean, I didn't get many great shots. I got maybe two or three really good shots, but it was okay. Like, I'd say it's a below average photo walk, but I just loved it because I went out to London. I got the tube line from North Greenwich, but you know, the O2 to where did I get off the train? It was somewhere near Green Park. It was north of like Oxford Street, And I thought, I know, I'll get off here. I've never really been here much. I got there. It was just kind of like, it was lovely, but it's just all, gosh, what's the word? It was lovely. It was just the fact that it was a residential area, so the only people there were kind of people that lived there. So they weren't, you know, out and about doing shit. They're just living in their homes. So I then decided to walk down to Oxford Street, which took so much longer than I thought it would. But it was, you know, it rained, my camera got wet, and all of this, you know, just no. And this got me really thinking about my street photography again. It made me look back at my old work, and specifically this photo that I took in the lovely English city of Bath. I took these photos in February 2020 when I was on a lovely little holiday with Elizabeth, and I can vaguely describe it to you, okay? So I have it up on my phone here, and I'm going to try my best to describe to you this photo that I took. Okay, so get like a 4x3 frame in your mind, and you'll imagine it, okay? So split it into thirds, you know, like vertical lines. Now, the left third is just like an out-of-focus, blurry brick wall, right? And the middle third is like the background of this lovely alleyway that's beautifully lit with big old, like, Roman buildings in the back. And the right third is this lady, and she's walking. She's in focus, the background is out of focus, and she's got this massive sort of, like, raincoat thing on. But it looks very fancy, and she's got massive like fur shoulders, like wrapped around her neck, like a massive fur scarf. It looks like a wolf, like she's got a wolf wrapped around her neck. And then she's got this like platinum blonde hair and her black bowler hat on, and she's carrying a leather briefcase. And I took this photo so long ago, but over a year ago, but I still just think it's so underrated. Like I've not had many compliments on it ever. But I've always loved the picture personally. And that made me want to paint it. And because of this, because of me loving this picture so much, I decided that I wanted to paint it. Now, I never painted, and this was my first time painting. So I first of all researched, I researched I researched how to use these like paints she bought me, and I just like took it slowly and like practiced blending colors first onto a bit of paper, and then I just got my picture, like sketched it out on the paper as best as I could. And I took that sketch and, well, you know, I just... And I just painted in the gaps. I really, really enjoyed the process, and it was just fucking fun, right? Like, I painted it, but I painted it in a kind of surrealist, psychedelic horror way. So I made the wall on the left very dark grey and, like, thick textured, right? And everywhere there'd be shadow from the bloody, what's it called, from the sun. Anytime there'd be shadow from the sun, like, you know, things blocking the sun, I would really exaggerate that shadow. So there's, like, you know, the person's coat is like half grey, half black. And then the lady in the real photo, I modelled the figure off of her. And it's just this big, wide figure wearing what seems to be like a massive coat with, like, you know, that's like grey, but the light is casting off it lovely. And I put the big fur thing over. And I put a red bowler hat, and I made the face just an amalgamation of what looks like the nervous system, like neurons and shit, but each one is just a different color, so it's like multicolored, and they're all clashing and weaving in and out of each other, and I bloody love it. If you want to see the painting, I just uploaded the photo to my Instagram, which is at Street Level Vista. I'll say that once again, at Street Level Vista. Now, you might be wondering, Craig, what is Vista? What does Vista mean? Other than being the best Windows operating system, Vista means, I'm pretty fucking sure, it means like a lovely view between two buildings. And I just kicked some bamboo. Shit. Did you like the sound of that, ladies and gentlemen? The kick of the bamboo. Would you like to hear it again? Oh, shit. Should we do some bamboo ASMR? Oh, come on. You'll love it. Come on. Come on. Let's go. How is that? Is that good? What the fuck am I doing? Bamboo. Bamboo ASMR, get your bamboo. There we go, lovely. Ugh. And now for the oak ASMR. No, I'm only joking. You can get this fucking this for ASMR if you want. That was me biting an apple. I don't know if you heard it, but I'm not going to make you listen to me chew the apple now. I'm not that evil. Okie dokie. So what does this all mean? What this means is that if you are scared of doing something, for me, painting, if you're scared of doing something like this just because you've never been good at it, right? Say you've never been a great runner because you were shit at running in school. What about now? Like, you're in your 20s, you know? Try now. Fucking do it, you know? And then you get stuff like, you know, people change their taste in, like, drinks and food and, you know, shit happens. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. If you have that kind of thing, I understand how it can be hard to want to do that, because you don't think you'll enjoy it because you're not good at it. But whenever you've done it, you've never said, I don't enjoy doing this. You've always just said, I'm bad at this, right? I always had that when I was a kid. I'm bad at painting. That's why I don't paint. Well, no, bullshit. You can learn. You can't be bad at things if you properly try, right? Well, I mean, so it's for some people, it's, you know, easier than others. But my point is, like, you... should give everything, every life, every opportunity, you should give it all a good go, because you don't know what you'll enjoy and what you won't, right? That's the view. I mean, that's the idea that I'd like to present to you today. Now, I didn't have that initial strength to want to go out, because, I mean, I tried to do it online months ago, and I went online on this like art supply website, and I put in my basket stuff that I would like to buy. You know, I put in some paints and some brushes and a little one of those little things you hold. Is it an easel? No, an easel is the wood, isn't it? Is that called a palette? I don't know. Anyway, I put all that stuff in the basket. And the total came to like 40 quid, which for me is quite a lot of money. Like, to, you know, to spend on something you're not sure if you want. So I just could not ever bring myself to do it. But Elizabeth did, because just out of kindness, she just bought me a load of stuff, and the better stuff than I was going to buy before. And it wasn't just that... economical, financially motivated kick, right? That was part of it, because I now had the equipment, but it was the fact that she believed in me. I've never once painted since I was about 11 years old, and she believed in me. Now, I know this sounds like I'm doing a TED talk, like as a famous artist. Like, I just made one painting in my shed. Shut the fuck up, Craig. But, oh, Jesus, I just whacked my knee. You know, you have the... and I'm back. You know, you have the funny bone in your elbow, right? It's called, like, the ulnaris nerve, or the onerous nerve, or something like that. It's that one that you whack, and it's just by your elbow, and whenever you whack it, it just hurts so fucking much, like the nerve pain, and you can't really just wait it out. You have that same nerve in your knee, just to the left of the knee joint, and nothing just to the right. And when that one gets hit, it's different, because the one in the elbow just really fucking hurts, but this one, when you hit it, it always makes your leg... I think it's also just below the knee, actually. If you hit it right in just in the right spot, it'll trigger a nerve, and then it like contracts your muscle, and it like pulls your leg up, and that just happened to me. Science with Craig. So yeah, it's essentially the ethos that you as a person are capable of anything you put your mind to. And there are certain... I just hit my knee again and hit the nerve, and it made my knee jerk. Oh my gosh, what are the chances? I was walking down the road the other day, and there was a seagull, right? And I don't live by the sea. I don't understand. Seagulls aren't even just by the sea. Can we address this, please? They aren't just seagulls by the sea. They're fucking everywhere. They just like water. They should be called water gulls. Water gulls. They should be called water gulls because they're on water. You know, they live in lakes as well and reservoirs. And I was walking down the road and I just saw one in the sky. Now, and you know how birds, they have this thing where if they fly into the wind and like angle their wings, kind of like what an aeroplane does, it, you know, it keeps them hovering and they can just like rest on that pocket of air. And I saw the seagull doing this up in the sky. I was just watching it. It was floating there and just having a great time. But then the wind changed and it was the funniest fucking thing ever. I was by myself and I just cracked up laughing because this seagull was just floating, you know, in this, what do you call them? In this updraft. And then the wind changed and he just flew the fuck off to the left. Like, because he was just like, you know, chilling. Just in the wind thingy, in the draft, and then he's just probably like taking a nap up there, and then the wind changed really quickly. There's a big gust, and he just turned like a 90-degree turn left, but he looked like he was out of fucking control, and he just fucking flew out of frame, and it was so funny. I wish you were there. It was absolutely fan-dooby-tastic. And yes, I did just say that, bitch. My friend Adam. That sounds like the beginning of one of those like childhood poem, you know, like the ones that's like my friend Billy had a big, you know, those kinds of ones. Anyway, my friend Adam, he was just texting me and I asked him for just like things he'd like to hear me talk about, and he wrote cheese, video games, Elon Musk, cats, frogs, dogs, the Greek gods, and James Charles. And of those, I reckon I'll give you my opinion. So cheese, I don't know what the fuck cheese is, Adman. Cheese tastes fantastic. Gouda was always my favorite. I had this Gouda once. Oh my god. Woo! It was mind-blowing. I had it in Amsterdam. It was just fantastic. It was from like the Amsterdam Cheese Museum or something. I don't know. But I now don't really eat cheese anymore. I eat cheese if it's in something. You know, if Mum bought me a pizza and it had cheese on it, I would never deny that. But, you know, I never make food with cheese, or I never buy cheese and try to eat it. Same with butter and milk and eggs. But I'm not vegan because the thing is, I love God and I love animals, but I just don't hate myself enough to do that to myself. You know, like I think I don't know, the most important thing is to be happy. And if I couldn't eat a fucking coffee and walnut cake in my bed at 3 a.m, I don't think I could be happy. And that is the honest truth. Elon Musk is a lovely man. Well, I don't know he's lovely, I've not met him. He's got a cult following, right? And I'm not part of that following. I'm not a huge fan of him. I find the guy kind of strange. And I don't know, just a bit off. But he appeared on Saturday Night Live. On Saturday Night Live. And I watched a clip of him on it. And he said he's got Asperger's. Or if you're American, Asperger's. Now, he said that like publicly, and I never knew that he had, you know, like Asperger's before, and that kind of explains a lot, I guess, about him, and it makes me respect him a lot more, because he's not trying to, it makes it feel a bit more like he's not trying to be a dickhead on purpose. I don't know what I mean. Anyway, but yeah, like, they had this whole segment on it about Dogecoin, and for those who don't know, which is probably, you know, not enough people, Dogecoin is a cryptocurrency, you know, like kind of like Bitcoin. And the thing is, Dogecoin was created as a joke, and a few weeks ago or months ago or something, it just fucking spiked after Elon Musk said he liked it, and then everyone went and bought it because they loved the man. And it kind of became this, like, you know, meme. It was a meme coin. It was like Doge, like the Doge meme, you know. And he appeared on Saturday Night Live. He's a big proponent of Dogecoin. I personally don't own any. Like, I don't trust it because I don't trust him. But, you know, because if Elon suddenly sold all of his, or he said shit about it online, I would lose my money. And I don't want to put my money in the hands of that man. Absolutely not. But he mentioned Dogecoin on a sketch, and they really went off, and they really dug it in, and like as in advertising Dogecoin. And then it was going well, and then Elon Musk described Dogecoin as a hustle. And I don't know if it was because of that or just because another reason, but after that Dogecoin like dipped dramatically. Dramatically. Dogecoin dipped dramatically. That sounds like an Eagles song. And yeah, that's it really. I still think it'll do well just because people are fucking stupid. Like Dogecoin, the reason it's not a valid currency is that it doesn't have a cap, right? It doesn't have a cap on how many Dogecoins can be minted, can be distributed. You know, cryptos like Ethereum, Bitcoin, Litecoin, you know, all those ones, and those are the main three. You know, even like Cardano, stuff like that. It's the thing with these is that they have a limit on how many can be produced. And that's what makes them valuable, right? I think like over 80 or 90% of all Bitcoin ever, like, that will ever be available has already been given out. So once it hits that like point of saturation where all of them have been mined, the value goes up, right? And that's how it works, because there's a limited supply. It's supply and demand. Now the thing is that Dogecoin doesn't have this cap. It doesn't have this limit, so they can just keep getting them and keep making them and keep making them. It's essentially an unlimited, endless cycle, because once it gains value, they'll just make more, and then they could, like, that can happen. If people mine more, then the more that's there, the less it's valued, right? Because, like, take NFTs for example. NFT stands for non-fungible token, and these things are basically, they're like deeds and permissions to like online art and online tokens and stuff, and they don't hold any actual value, but they're like art, as in a painting you'd buy at a gallery, right? It doesn't actually hold any value. It's just a piece of fucking canvas, you know, with some paint on it. There's no actual value that. You'd sell that at a, you know, for like a penny. But like materials only, of course. But the reason paintings are valued is because there's only one of them, you know? Like when you get a Da Vinci painting, that's the only one. And that's why there's value. And that's the same with NFTs. But again, NFTs, there's a cap because there's only that one single product, and that's why it's valuable. And NFTs and Ethereum have kind of become intermingled, and I genuinely think that Ethereum, which is the second most popular cryptocurrency, it's basically made after Bitcoin as an improvement. Ethereum is like needed, right? It's it's needed. It's necessary. That's the one. It's necessary for people to buy NFTs. And I think NFTs will only get more and more valuable because, like, as the art market has, right? The art and, like, historical paintings market is always rising in value because time equals value in that, right? How old a painting is or how rare it is. And the thing is with NFTs is that they're not going anywhere. It's a market that can only grow. It cannot, that market cannot go down. It can crash. It could go to zero, but, you know, if something dramatic happened, something dramatic happened. But, you know, obviously, that's the kind of market that obviously will grow over time because there will be more produced, more like celebrities will get on it, you know, stuff like that. But because of that, Ethereum is also probably going to go up with that because more people that are buying NFTs are also buying Ethereum to pay for the NFTs. And that's kind of like a positive feedback loop. And I find this super duper ooper interesting because it means that NFTs, the NFT market, it means that the NFT market and the Ethereum market are linked now so that they can't ever break away. If one goes down, the other one goes down. If one goes up, the other one goes up. And it's just fascinating to me. Because I think Ethereum will overtake Bitcoin one day simply because of this NFT stuff. I don't know if people will start accepting, you know, like Bitcoin for NFT. That would change it. That would stop Ethereum's growth. But for now, I just, it's just interesting, okay? Don't short me. Right. Oh my gosh, that Adam just wanted me to talk about Elon Musk. I just went off. Okay, cats. Yeah, love them. Got two cats. They're lovely. One of them is a scaredy cat. Other one, lovely, lovely little thing. Lovely, gives, you know, likes to cuddle. Frogs. Don't own a frog. I've seen four frogs in my life. Two were bouncing in my garden. One was flattened in down the road from my school. And the other one was absolutely fucking like 2D flattened on the streets of Lille in Paris. As an animal, I like them. I like all animals, really, you know. Nothing wrong with them. They're pretty fucking cool. They're very unique. They're a very unique creature. And I love that about them. And they're spotty. That's cool. And they can like have poison in them. Because like animals that have venom, fuck you. Fuck you. This goes out to all the animals with venom. Because venom is just like a dickhead move. Like, why would you do that? But poison, that's cool. Because it means that if an animal eats you, the animal will die as well. So it's like it's a win-lose, you know? Like, yes, you're dead, but you avenged your own death. And that's pretty cool. Dogs. I have a dog. She's fucking great. My dad has a dog. He's fucking great. My girlfriend has a dog. She's fucking great. Yeah, I think I do prefer cats over dogs, I'll be honest. I used to be a dog person, but I think I'm a cat person now. But don't tell my dad. The Greek gods. All I know about the Greek gods is that, you know, Poseidon was Percy Jackson's dad. And where did Logan Lerman go? That fucking actor. I've never seen him. Same with Alexandra Daddario. I only know her name because I used to think she had nice eyes. Good, cool films. I used to love them, but not anymore. And James Charles, creepy fucking guy. He's a paedophile. He is an absolute top nonce. And I don't mean as in like top nonce as in the best nonce, I mean top nonce is in top of the nonce list. It just says Jamie Charlie. And on that lovely note, I am going to finish this apple here because I've only taken two bites out of it and it's starting to be oxygenated, and that is not very good for the apple. So this is where I say goodnight. Thank you so gosh darn much for listening. It really, really means a lot to me just for clicking on it and listening to my fucking voice. Yeah. Good night. This has been The Meaning of Life with your host, Matthew J. Helders. This has been The Meaning of Life with your host, Matthew J. Helders. Thank you for listening. Good night. Put a fucking, a news broadcast theme tune. Like a do 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 do, you know, something like that, and then, gosh darn, I'll kick the bamboo again. Don't keep this in the podcast. This is only for you, Craigie boy. I don't know why, but I can hear Elizabeth just shouting, "Get to the fucking point!" I can't remember the point. To be honest, this apple is just so damn good. It's called a golden delicious apple. And they're very small, but they're lovely and sweet. I actually do think Pink Lady is my favourite now, because a golden delicious you can't get a good bite out of. They're more of a nibble, you know, but a Pink Lady, oh, the fucking chomp you can get on that, on a Pink Lady. I love apples. Put that in the podcast for sure. Anyway. Yeah. Bye-bye.